There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Mark Lloyd and Danny Norton talking everything road safety this afternoon.
Absolutely, we are 100%. It's all to do with these new reports that have been released across Dubai, Sharjah and Abu Dhabi. So starting off with the one in Dubai, it's revealed that 76 people were killed in road accidents in the first half of this year. This is according to Dubai police, who say that the fatal accidents were predominantly caused by sudden swerving, failing to leave a safe distance and misjudgment by drivers. And this comes despite, Mark, the large number of road safety campaigns that we've had here, certainly over the last few months, over the last few years really. Authorities, I think it's fair to say, are trying their best, but is the message getting through?
Absolutely. Sonal, your thoughts on that? You know, is that message getting through? It seems to be a topic that crops up time and time again, not only on this show, but all around the UAE.
Yeah, and I think it really is a common point of stress for most people who live here. And I think one of the big questions that comes up time and time again is, how do we get people who are coming from so many different places with such different cultures when it comes to driving on the same page about how to behave on the roads?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Culture. We all learn to drive in our own country, where we come from. And, you know, there's probably different ways and, you know, different traffic laws in all those different parts of the world, Danny.
Absolutely. And even unwritten traffic laws as well. You know, it's been brought up actually to me many a time when I've had visitors over, when I've had family, friends come over from the UK to stay in Dubai. The remark on little things, for example, where, you know, in the UK, if you're flashing somebody, that means that you're either letting them come into your lane, yeah. You know, you're letting them out, something like that. Whereas it can mean different things to different people from different countries, can't it? I think a lot of people over here might use it to mean get out of my way, unfortunately. But just those little things as well. Obviously, the actual laws themselves might differ. But even the kind of the unwritten rules of the road that all drivers kind of know after you pass your test, that kind of thing, where, like you say, Sonal, we've got such a hot, you know, a hot pot of different cultures, and that includes the driving cultures, and that's what makes it extra difficult over here. But at the same time, when there are certain rules, and if you abide by the rules, surely that should kind of stop any of these kind of accidents that we're unfortunately having to report on time and time again.
Yeah, we've got our intern, Zach, young man, you know, young guy. I don't know if you've passed your driving test yet or not. You have passed your test. You know, as a younger member of the community, what's your thoughts on the way we drive here?
Well, I grew up in Dubai, and so I've been accustomed to the laws ever since I even started thinking about driving. I took my driver's test here. I took my lessons here. So I'm well aware of the laws. And in my opinion, it's not that easy to sidestep the laws or speed in the first place, because Dubai has so much technology that will catch any single little thing you do, and the fines and the punishment is just not worth it.
It's interesting you say that about speeding as well, because I mentioned before we got three different reports from Dubai, Sharjah and Abu Dhabi, and the one from Sharjah talks about how 300 motorists were caught driving in excess of 200 kilometres per hour. This baffles me. It really does, how anyone can, on any road here in the UAE, can exceed 200 kilometres per hour. Now, this reckless driving, it led to vehicle seizures, in which case the cars are impounded by authorities for up to 60 days. The highest speed recorded in Sharjah was by a vehicle clocking 258 kilometres per hour on Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed Road towards Fujairah. We do have to point out as well, there has been a decline in traffic accidents. I do believe it is actually getting better. I've been here for 3.5 years. I think actually the standards are improving. I think we are seeing less accidents. But at the same time, you know, when you're seeing this kind of thing, what else can be done then? If you've got the technology here, what else can be done just to I suppose, educate people? Is that the key thing more than anything else?
I mean, is there no fear? I mean, if I was driving a car and coming up to speeds like that, 258 kilometres an hour, not that my car would ever get to that speed. I don't think it's capable of it. But, I mean, you know, the fear factor alone, it must be pretty terrifying, I would have thought.
I mean, I would think so as well. But this whole topic of speeding really makes me think of what Zach was saying, because I grew up here as well. And if you go back 10, 15, 20 years, the culture, again, around speeding was completely different to what we have now. Now there's a lot of enforcement. There's a lot of sort of education and awareness. But back then, there was that sort of culture that was completely acceptable on certain roads, because, again, it wasn't such a big city at that point. So I think that change and that shift also for people who have been here for a long time and who live maybe in certain areas that are not as enforced in terms of speeding and radars, maybe that sort of shift is taking some time.
I didn't grow up here, but I've been here for 30 odd years. So the roads were very different back then, weren't they? You know, it was just nothing like, I remember the main highway to Abu Dhabi was two lanes and that was it. Now we've got the most amazing infrastructure when it comes to roads. And, you know, is that part of the problem, maybe? We've just got these fabulous roads and great cars as well. We just want to open them up and drive, you know, as fast as we can.
Actually, I mean, I feel like the amazing infrastructure of the city here, it adds to the fact that we're losing traffic accidents per year. It's becoming less and less because the roads are becoming smoother. There's not as many traffic lights or roundabouts. Everything's just over, under. There's no traffic. No one's stopping as much. No one's getting frustrated as much. I remember having to leave to school an hour before it started to get there 15 minutes late. and now I leave 15 minutes before it starts and I'm still there early.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's the way that we tackle this? Because obviously, you know, I think we all agree then that things are getting better, but there's still more to be done. And when you look at, say, for example, Sharjah Police, they launched 7 traffic awareness campaigns in which almost 145,000 people benefited from them. They also launched 11 confiscation campaigns. And they do say that they are focusing on reducing accidents, fatalities, injuries, more on that side as opposed to actually fining motorists. So as a driver, what do you think? Do you think it's a case of what would more put you off speeding? Would it be a case of the fine that you might face or even having your car impounded perhaps? Or is it the actual education and knowing the reasons really why you shouldn't speed?
I have to say, I think the fines are really effective. And I just use that from my pure observation. I've been commuting to Abu Dhabi frequently. I started maybe about 8 years ago. And that was back when there were only sort of 3 or so radars. Everybody knew where they were. And then over the course of the years, they started adding them so that they happen every few kilometers. That drive has completely changed. In my opinion, you still do get people who are speeding, but you don't get that kind of people reaching high speeds and then trying to stop right before the radar. So I do think the fine system, because those fines are so high, I think it is quite effective.
Mark Lloyd with you today, along with Danny Norton from the ARN News Centre. We've also got Sunal and Zach, our intern. We're talking about road safety today and, you know, how are we going to get this message across? The news that 76 people have been killed in road accidents across Dubai so far this year. Now, we've got some expert opinion coming up next on the show as Alex Kappa-Murdoch, the founder of Miss Autonow, joins us on the line. Miss Autonow, it's a safe place for women to seek advice and ask questions about all things automotive. So, Alex, welcome along to the show. Great to have you on board with us. You've heard some of those stats there. What's your initial thoughts about, you know, the fact that so far this year, 76 people have been killed in road accidents?
Yes, good morning, Mark. Well, as you know, 76 this year, that is actually a reduction on this time last year, which was just one more at 77. And I think, you know, we're always trying to improve, aren't we? We always want to make that statistic a different number. And if we could, we would want it to be zero. But I think that's still a long way off. But we are improving and we are trying. And I think there's a lot more interest in road safety these days.
Great to speak to you, Alex, obviously friend of Dubai Eye right here as well. Now, please say that these accidents were predominantly caused by sudden swerving and failing to leave a safe distance and misjudgments by drivers. Now, I know that certainly in the last few months there's been a bit of a step up in police clamping down on sudden swerving, on lack of indicators being used, that kind of thing. Is enough being done, do you think? Are we seeing enough from the police, from the authorities in order to tackle these kind of issues?
I personally think the police and the RTA and even the EMSF and the FIA Mobility are doing a fantastic job. As you know, Danny, I've been here for many, many years and I've seen a huge improvement on the roads. And that's quite difficult for a country that is so transient. What I would say is that they're absolutely right in the statistics that they're giving, that, you know, a lot of this is caused by high speed, by not leaving enough room. And really, it is the kind of not leaving enough room, not being aware of the situations that are going on around you that are causing a lot of these problems. As you said, since the introduction or maybe a step up in looking at the way that people are maneuvering around other vehicles on the road and people are now indicating a lot more. And I was a little bit fearful, I have to be honest, thinking as soon as you indicate, there's that sudden urge for people to close a gap. However, what I have found is actually the opposite, that since more people are indicating, because obviously people are fearful of picking up a fine or points on their license, that actually I think it's improved the driving standards a lot on the roads, and I think it's really helpful to know that people are moving in front of you and they're not closing the gap as much.
Just coming back to speed, Alex, 300 caught speeding over 200 kilometres per hour in Sharjah. I brought this up earlier on. Personally, I would be terrified. I'd be scared out of my wits if I was driving at 200 kilometres per hour. Do you think that's because I'm older? Do you think maybe younger drivers don't have the same fear and the same, you know, worry about going to such speeds as that?
Somewhat. I mean, not saying that you're old, Mark, far from it. You are the funkiest granddad that we know. But what I would say is that, yeah, I think as, you know, as we get older, we become more fearful, definitely. And we think about the consequences more. Younger people in society, they're used to these vehicles being full of safety features. And as you know, if you do something enough times, it no longer becomes fearful. So I don't have an issue driving at high speed as long as it's in a safe environment on a circuit like Dubai Autodrome or Yas Marina Circuit. But the fact that I'm used to traveling at higher speeds means that it doesn't seem such a big deal anymore. And I think that's the problem. I'm pretty sure that a lot of these statistics, especially around Sharjah, if you think that that's, you're looking at like the Maleha Road that suddenly got a lot of new speed cameras on it, which I'm hoping will really help the situation. But I would say it's more in the kind of outer regions where you're getting these really high speeds. Not to say that we haven't seen plenty of people speeding on the main roads within the city as well, and that is something that we need to target.
You mentioned there about the kind of smart radars, and I know that the traffic accidents have been reduced, as Sharjah Police say, by the installation of 30 smart radars, mainly on roads that witness a high rate of accidents. But do you think, is that the main solution? Is it using technology like speed cameras, or is the answer to be found more in awareness courses, in traffic awareness campaigns? I know there's been plenty being run by police in Sharjah, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, in the other Emirates. So which side do you think is the most important, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. It's always good to have a deterrent, because that's going to make you think twice. But as you say, the thing that's really going to make the biggest difference is education. And as you say, there are, you know, there's lots of courses, there's lots of things being written about road safety. You know, Thomas Edelman at Road Safety UAE has been a brilliant advocate of this, and the manufacturers have been really good. As you know, Dubai Autodrome and myself have come together to do a road safety course specifically for women, which starts at the end of the month. And I think that shows that there's not only a lot of interest in that, there's high demand, because people do not want to be driving on roads where we're fearful all the time of having an accident when it may not be our own fault.
Do you think, you know, with the fabulous cars, there's no two ways about it, we've got some amazing vehicles here in Dubai. I kind of come to work every day and think, wow, I wish I owned that. But they're going faster and faster. You know, and is there that temptation? If you've got a car that can really perform and really, do you want to open it up when you get on an open road?
Do you know, I'm going to be absolutely honest, and I'm going to big myself up. We own a supercar. We have one ourselves, the Maserati Stradale, and that is definitely the slowest car on the road, because it's such a beautiful piece of engineering, and it sounds so gorgeous, but you actually do not want to go at high speeds. It's that little bit of luxury. So I'm sure everybody doesn't feel the same, but I can pretty much guarantee if you've had the ability to drive lots of cars, you really do get to the point where you're looking for comfort and safety, not for yourself, not just for yourself, but for your entire family and for those people around you. So engine sizes, they're not necessarily getting bigger, because there's a lot of thought about about sustainability in our environment, which is reducing engine size and making the manufacturers work harder in terms of engineering to make sure that those vehicles still have a certain amount of speed to them, but really it's to do with safety and reducing our carbon footprint.
Now, Alex, this question might be a bit of an obvious one, a bit of a simple question to ask for a lot of people out there, but just talk us through, if you will, give us a bit of a kind of, you know, a fool's guide, in a sense, to kind of traffic safety, to the reasons we shouldn't speed, the kind of things that you do in these courses that you hold. What are the reasons that people really shouldn't speed?
Well, really, the number one reason is you need to think about the safety of yourself and also the others around you. We live in a community at the end of the day, and we all want to be part of that community and a good person within that community. When you start to speed, you have less awareness of what's going on around you. And obviously, your reaction times, although your reaction time may be the same reaction time at 200 kilometers an hour as it is at 20 kilometers an hour, the distance, the stopping distance or the distance and the time that it takes to be able to react to a situation around you is obviously vastly different. People think that they have great control of their vehicle, whether they're driving fast or slow. But when we put people through their paces on safe driving courses, I can guarantee that 99.9% of people are really shocked at things like how a car reacts under aggressive braking or a sudden change in direction. And also, I think people need to understand that just because cars are becoming safer doesn't mean that that's going to save your life or save the life of somebody else. So really start to think about things. Don't go on autopilot every time you get in the car. I know it's easy to say and difficult to do, but really start to think about everything that's going on around about you.
And Alex, how can women get involved in your Women at the Wheel courses?
Just log on to the Dubai Autodrome website, www.dubaiautodrome.com /women at the wheel, and you can book the course through there. There's also, obviously, the Miss Autono pages as well. So there's a closed group on Facebook. Just type in Miss Autono to find out more, and that's auto as in automobile and no as in know it all.
And any chance of a spin in your Maserati, Alex?
Absolutely, Mark. You're more than welcome.
Yeah, the funkiest grandfather in Dubai behind a Maserati. That would be pretty amazing. Alex, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for being with us. That's Alex Kappa-Murdoch, the founder of Miss Autono.
Absolutely. Great to speak to Alex. Khaled says more police presence on the road, more aggressive campaigns on TV and radio, and higher penalties, for example, costs, points, etc. That is the answer, according to Khaled. No name on this one, but saying campaigns and communication through the workplace and at homes. I used to speed a lot, this texter says, during the school days. However, working at an international company, which constantly talks about safety and driving, has changed my approach there. So interesting ones.
We've been discussing road safety and the fact that, you know, we're trying to get that message across to make our roads more safe.
We absolutely are. It all comes from three different reports that have been released across the UAE. 76 people were killed in road accidents in the first half of the year, according to Dubai Police. Sharjah Police recorded a total of 300 motorists caught driving in excess of 200 kilometres per hour. And also another one that we've not yet mentioned, really interesting one from Abu Dhabi, that children behind the wheel and driving on their own has become a great concern to police in the capital. Yes, children behind the wheel. So in the first 6 months of this year, police arrested 342 minors for driving their parents' vehicles without a licence. And during this time, underage driving was responsible for 17 traffic accidents. Now, of course, the legal age to drive here in the UAE is 18 years old. Teenagers can begin their driver training at 17 years and 6 months. But quite remarkable statistics.
How are they getting the keys? How are they getting the keys to these? I mean, obviously, the parents must be allowing them to take the keys and go out there and drive on
the
road.
That's the question.
So irresponsible.
Either way, whether it's the parents letting them or the children doing it and the parents maybe not looking after the keys as best they can do, there's something wrong there. And just to stress as well, officials do say that parents who allow minors to drive will be held responsible for their children's actions, as certainly I think they should be.
Yeah, we are talking safety on the roads and, you know, how it can be tackled. We're getting lots of messages coming in on this. So now, what have you got for us?
Well, Jay said, I think the driving schools have a lot of responsibility for making sure people are properly trained here. I think everyone who newly arrives to the country should be required to take a driving test. And this one is from Rana. She said, I got one 600 dirham speeding ticket and never did it again. If people got fined more for swerving, I think it would help. Another interesting one has come in from Samir. He says, cameras should be installed on vehicles and people should send instant live feed to RTA so that people who drive recklessly can be punished.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
It's an interesting
some interesting technology there.
I know we don't have a culture here of filming other people and doing that kind of thing, but the police did come out last year with an app that they were urging people to use. It was called We Are All Police. And through that, people can actually report incidents that they're seeing on the road.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you seen incidents of late that you would like to report, Danny? Would you do that? Would you actually think, right, that is overstepping the mark, I'm going to report that incident?
I can't recall seeing like maybe something that extreme in a sense, but I think, I've got to say, I think pretty much every single day I'll see some kind of driving which makes me kind of shudder a little bit. Even, and mostly it'll tend to be like kind of lane swerving where you just kind of suddenly change lanes most of the time without indicating. That's the kind of issue that I see more than anything else. I do have to say I think that tailgating, from my experience, has reduced over the last few months, arguably over the last year or so. And I think a lot of this is maybe down to the new smart cameras we've got, which can kind of measure the distance between vehicles in a lot of places as well. But really interesting kind of comments coming through on this one as well. And it's fascinating as well. I know that earlier on, Sona, you mentioned about kind of fines being put off, and the text that you just mentioned there about kind of one person getting that fine and then being put off for the rest of their time. I think there's more that can be done with this, where there's a country in Europe, I believe it's Switzerland, where the level of fine you get depends and varies on your income. So if you think about it, you know, maybe a 600 dirham fine would mean a lot, would be very different for somebody who's making a lot of money as opposed to somebody who's making not as much money. You know, it's all on context, isn't it? And in Switzerland, I remember like kind of reading a story of somebody getting a fine of around about 1 million euros for speeding because
so they must have had a big salary.
Because he made that much money, but then that's something which actually hurts him and affects him, and you know, and it will make a difference that way. Is that a way to go, maybe, where you adjust it according to income, perhaps?
I think that makes a lot of sense. That would be really effective. I mean, because like you were saying, for some people, 600 dirhams just may not be enough of a deterrent to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. What about the actual driving test? Do you think it's enough just to take one test, or should we have refresher tests maybe every couple of years or 2 or 3 years, you know, to make sure that we still know the rules of the road and are honing our skills once again?
That's an interesting one with the test, isn't it? You know, I think it was the text message you read out, Sonal, were they suggesting that all people who come here and drive in the UAE, so all expats who've got driving licenses from different countries, should go through a test here? Because if so, it might be the way to go, but it's going to be logistically very hard to do, isn't it? You know, obviously a lot of expats who've been living here for a very long time, who've been driving here for a long time, you might even argue that the countries they've come from have got higher standards, perhaps, you know, certainly higher road safety standards that they come from. So it's that kind of question about how you do that as well. Know that other people who have taken lessons here and taken tests are also a little bit suspicious over certain companies and certain kind of tutors who they feel will maybe try and keep them on for a bit longer just to make a bit more money. So there are issues there, but it could be the only way to go to ensure that we've got consistent kind of awareness of what the rules are around the UAE, as opposed to having, like you say, this kind of eclectic mix where there's some kind of rules from some countries and some from others.
I mean, would you be willing, Danny, to take another driving test? I mean, when did you, your test?
I passed my test in, I think, 2012, back in the UK. So I think
you're due for one then.
I certainly could be, you know. I certainly could. One thing I will actually say is, back in the UK, I did have to go to an awareness course for essentially for jumping a red light, which I hold my hands up to that one. And it was one of those where I went through on orange, but I'm in the UK, caught through there.
Okay.
And I do have to say that the course that I went and did, it included a lot of quite scary images, should we say. It was kind of very upfront to the point. And it changed my driving behaviour, without a doubt. So that could be another answer.
It's Mark Lloyd, along with Danny Norton from the ARN News Centre, presenting at the show today. And we've also got Sonal with us, who's got a few more text messages regarding our topic today. We're looking at road safety. What will it take to get the message across? This is on the back of the story that 76 people have been killed in road accidents across Dubai so far this year. Sonal, more reaction coming in.
Lots of messages coming in on this topic. Lars has said, I'm new to Abu Dhabi and have had a hard time adjusting to driving here. I found myself having to be constantly on the defensive, not just worried about what I'm doing, but what about everyone else is about to do as well. Another one from Namrathas, who says, I'm more scared of delivery motorcycles than anything else. They'll swerve constantly between lanes, but because I'm in the bigger car, I have to be more diligent to make sure they are safe. And Sam has said, the biggest hazard is definitely phones. Can't count the number of times I've seen someone looking directly at a screen instead of the road ahead.
Yeah, the phone issue is still a big problem, isn't it? You see it all the time.
It staggers me so often. You'll see them. And what, you know, what really, really baffles me is you'll see people driving along in these really fancy cars and they're literally holding their phone to their ear. And I just can't help thinking to myself, I know for a fact you've got Bluetooth in that car. It's a new car. It's a modern car. It's a nice car.
Maybe just can't
use
it.
Why are you just hooking it up to hands-free where you can, you know, you sort of your hands on the wheel, your hands there ready to for the gearbox and whatever. And not to even advocate, you know, having that, but it's, why would you be holding the phone? But the amount of people, I mean, you can tell when a lot of time when cars are swerving in their lane, you already know what they're doing and they're looking down at the phone. If you drive past and you can see them just staring down at the phone, and it's just, all it takes is a second. This is the problem as well. It just takes a second to one little incident for one car to maybe move in front of them to cause an accident.
Mm. We're going to go to the telephone lines right now. We've got Ravi joining us on line three. A very good morning to you, Ravi. What do you make of this conversation, and you know, how would you make the roads more safe?
First of all, very good morning to you, and you know, this is one topic which you raised, and I was honestly tempted to pick up the line and talk to you rather than, you know, texting messages. Now, I have noticed three distinct things. You know, I've been driving in UAE for the past, I should say, about 25 years.
Yeah.
Right? And I consider myself a very safe driver. I mean, not that I'm boasting about myself, but that's what I am. You know, I drive within the speed limits, and I think in the last 25 years, maybe I got a speeding ticket maybe twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I have noticed, three things here, you know, as opposed to in other countries, and I drive extensively in America whenever I travel there. The three things I want to really emphasize and point out. Number one is the road rage. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, people are behind you at the signal. You have no idea. You know, it's still red. It's not even amber.
Yeah.
And they keep honking at you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With
and,
you on that.
And within it, yeah. I mean, you know, if a person is not experienced, people get reactive about such things, and they may even, you know, push the pedal because somebody honked behind them, and that could be absolutely dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah, and the second thing I have noticed is they have absolutely no respect for pedestrians crossing. You know, I mean, I totally agree people cannot cross other than, you know, the designated crossing areas, but you are still seeing a human being crossing the road at times.
Mm.
And, you know, they have no courtesy even whatsoever, you know, to put the hazard and stop.
Mm. It's funny, I've got a different experience of that because I started coming to work on the metro. And I've got a short walk from the station to come to our radio studios here. And I have to go across three zebra crossings. And I'm amazed at the people. Everybody's stopping for me. I don't know if it's just me, you know, but everybody stops. So I don't know. I'm not with you on the zebra crossing one. What's your third point, Ravi?
Now, the third point is, which could sound funny, like, you know, people disrespect others drive. I don't know how to put this across now. I, for example, now, you know, occasionally my car goes for service. Okay, then I'm on a rental car, you know, which could be just a very small, tiny, mini car. You know, I mean, I have noticed a drastic difference. People don't give you lanes. People keep honking at you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that is not my usual experience when I'm driving my other car. You know, I mean, well, why should this happen? In other countries, disregard, you know, what brand, what car, what size you're driving, you know, people do respect you on the road. I mean, this is something I have noticed in the past at least 15 years, ever since I moved into my, you know, a different brand of car, which I don't want to mention on air, but this is what I have noticed.
Ravi, interesting points there, and thank you so much for being part of the conversation this morning here on The Agenda. We're going to go to line number one right now, where Khalid joins us. Khalid, what's your thoughts on this topic?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show. Really fantastic. A long-time listener.
Okay.
I'm very sort of straight to the point. I've two points that basically come to my mind. The first one is police presence. I see less police presence on the road, generally speaking. And I come generally from originally from Sydney, from Australia, and I, from my experience in the past, there's a lot of police force, basically, you see on the road. You see a lot of undercover police, you see the normal police, they sort of parking in different areas. Here, you less sort of see them. And that may be sort of, maybe force people sort of to do the wrong thing sometimes by speeding or by flashing, by honking. And the other key point that I would like to mention is the educational part. I think that we need more aggressive campaigns, whether it's in a school, whether it's in a workplace, whether it's on the TV, whether it's on the radio. It's just more awareness, more campaigns, more advertisements, more campaigns that emphasize the danger behind the wrong behaviors on the road. Those are the sort of two key points that I would like to sort of contribute to the discussion.
Really interesting ideas there, Cal, especially your second one as well. When you say more aggressive, what do you think about the content as well? I always remember back in the UK there being some very graphic TV commercials that went out on there that were quite controversial at the time, but I think got the message across. Do you think it's a case
absolutely.
Of doing things like
I,
that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. And that's what I have seen as well in Sydney as well. They were very graphical sort of content sometimes showing on the TV. Mind you, there were certain period of time where they are usually shown. But I think they also serve the purpose. It's like what you see on the cigarette sort of boxes nowadays.
Yeah.
Very aggressive content that try to deter people from speeding, from crossing the red line, from crossing the zebra crossing without sort of paying attention, basically deterring people from holding mobile phones while driving, all those consequences or all those things sort of addressed in those kind of campaigns.
Yeah. So if people can actually see, what can result from speeding, from holding those phones, if people can see, then that's going to be a big deterrent. Callie, thanks so much for your call this morning. Been great having you on the show. We're getting a lot more reaction coming in via our text messages as well. Over to you, Sonal.
Well, Leonardo has said lane discipline in my view is the biggest issue while driving here. Also, it would make sense to have a professional driver's license for truck, buses, delivery vans, taxis, etc. This having longer and more comprehensive training. Khalid has also said in response to the phone topic, maybe we will evolve into four-eyed creatures, two for the road and two for the phone. And Kamran has said for road safety, patience is key.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.